When Paul was dictating his first letter to the troubled congregation in Corinth, I feel certain he had no idea that it would be read by people throughout the world for centuries to come. His letter was written to address the problem he had gotten wind of that was going on in Corinth. It seemed that some of the flock thought they were better than the others, that their gifts were more valuable than the gifts that others had been given. Imagine that. Some people in Corinth actually thought that their gifts were more valuable, and consequently, that they were more valuable than other people. Thank goodness Paul wrote that letter and got those Corinthians in check. Otherwise, that same problem might continue to this day. Or could it be that the trouble that brewed in the congregation in Corinth was not a singular event, but one that lurks in all congregations, sometimes just below the radar, and sometimes in full view? The imagery Paul uses to describe the varying gifts that each of us is given is the imagery of a body, a human body, and the body of Christ. He says, we were all baptized into one body, no matter where we were before, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We might take that a bit farther, giving the evolution of our world, and say Methodist or Baptist, male or female, black or white, gay or straight, Republican or Democrat. The list could go on and on. But the point is, no matter where we were or are, we have become one body because we have been baptized by one Spirit. And as one body, we function well only if we function together. The foot cannot say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. We're not supposed to separate ourselves. Certainly we can behave as though we are not part of the body, but that does not mean that we are not. Once a part of the body, always a part of the body. Moreover, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's a bit trickier. It makes perfect sense in the context of the body imagery. We know we need all parts of the body to be fully functional, but we also know that we can manage without some of the parts. Tonsils and appendixes seem to be removed without too many long-term effects. So if we decide a member of our body is an infected tonsil or a ruptured appendix, can we decide to remove them with little or no consequence? That would be the way we could rationalize it. And it would be the human thing to do, to rationalize the situation so that we could get around the hard work of being one body. Moreover, who would we deem an infected tonsil or a ruptured appendix? Probably the member we don't agree with. Or perhaps that person would see us as an infected tonsil or a ruptured appendix. So who actually is the tonsil and who is the brain? And in that, we get right back to where Paul began. We are all given gifts. We are all part of this body. And we all have something to offer to make this body fully functional. Is there someone or some group that you think you have no need of? What is the gift that they have to offer to you? Perhaps it's the gift of expanding your understanding. Perhaps it's the gift of patience. You know, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that the folks who assign the lectionary readings knew that our annual parish meeting is today. This is the perfect reading for a time when our church family, our part of the bigger body, gathers to look at where we have been and where we are going. There's no better time to be reminded of the gifts that we have been given and the gifts that we each have to offer. Certainly, when considering who to elect to the vestry, we should be very mindful of our varying gifts. Our vestry would not be a very successful leadership team if it was one giant foot, or hand, or eye. Diverse opinions and diverse gifts joined together are what is needed. We're a very gifted parish. Each and every week, parts of our body function to provide breakfast on Sunday and dinner on Wednesday, to fold and label and mail, to answer the phone and provide food from the pantry. We have other gifted parts that teach. We have parts that sing and play music. We have parts that wash linens and set the altar, parts that arrange flowers, parts that greet people when they come through the door, parts that help people to their seats. We have parts that count money and pay bills, and parts that visit other parts. We have parts that pray together and parts that pray alone. We have a wonderful, vibrant body. Some of our parts are out front in plain view, and some of our parts are behind the scenes, functioning with little or no attention. Whether in plain view or with little or no recognition, each part is equally valuable and necessary. Have you ever become instantly aware of how much attention something as otherwise unnoticeable as a cuticle can demand? If you've ever had a hangnail, you know that a cuticle can suddenly demand your full attention. Otherwise, you can probably go weeks and months without paying any attention to the tissue surrounding your nail beds. But have one peel out of place and no other part of your body will have so much of your attention. Each and every part is important. Each and every gift is necessary and valuable to the fully functioning body of Christ. Catherine Briggs and her daughter, Isabel Briggs Myers, the developers of the Myers-Briggs Personality Inventory, knew this to be true. Citing this passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians as the title of their book, Gifts Differing, they affirm that each person is gifted in differing ways, and that each gift is equally valuable and necessary. Each person has gifts, gifts of the Spirit, and each person is valuable and necessary. There are no infected tonsils or ruptured appendixes. Do you think of yourself as gifted? Have you considered what you have to offer the body? Are you hiding your gifts under a bushel? Or do you spend most of your time focusing on your weaknesses? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all sing? Do all do the dishes? Are all lectors? We're a very gifted parish indeed. And I never cease to be amazed by the outpouring of gifts we have been given. As we gather today as the gifted body of Grace Church, let us be reminded once again what each of us has to offer this body. And let us give thanks to God, from whom every good gift comes. Amen.